manner, doing what Dennis said I could do, going back and speaking on some of the things that we've discussed in past weeks, and then speaking a little bit on the portion. I have three sections, three stanzas of 8 verses each. I'll tell you a little bit about them, and then we'll just see how things go. So let us start reading for a moment at verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have kept thy precepts. 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And then the portion that we are so familiar with, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, this I want you to take to heart. Verse 106. I have sworn and have performed it that I will observe thy righteous ordinances. Never forget that verse. We'll dwell on it, God willing, in a little bit more. Verse 7. I am afflicted very much. Give me life, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, and teach me thine ordinances. 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an inheritance forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Verse 113. I hate them that are of a double mind, but thy law I love. Verse 115. Depart from me, ye evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Verse 119. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the portions that we have read. We pray, our God, that we may be able to understand them. So empower by thy Spirit, prepare the hearts and the consciences of those who hear. And as you have promised, we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The first thing that I will do is to get your attention immediately. I will give $100 right now to any man who will tell me the 10 ways that the scriptures are spoken of in Psalm 119. Now, this fellow got me for $5 one time, and a young fella got me for a Canadian dollar that looks like gold, but I'm prepared to give $100 if you will tell me the 10 different ways the scriptures are described in Psalm 119. I'm safe. All right, give me the 10. Come, let's see if you can give them.
Law, testimony, precepts,
wait a minute. I didn't say to read them. I said to give them to you. All right, I will give them to you and see. You check them out.
Okay.
You have law, word, saying, commandment, statute, judgment, precept, testimony, way, and path. Are those the ones? Well, will you give me $100? The significance is this, that these words occur from a few times. Path is the rarest, and law is the most frequent occurrence. that as you read through only these 10 words, however, there's so much, judgment is also translated ordinance elsewhere. But the 10 Hebrew words such as Torah and Derek and Orak, all these various Hebrew words, there are only 10. And the old Jews like to say, well, of course there are 10 because there are 10 commandments. But we could spend the whole time giving you a definition of the 10 words. But remember them because you have them on tape and you can go and get them that are already written down. But see the different nuance in each word and how the author of this psalm uses these various words. Now, since we've spoken of the 10 different ways that the scriptures are described in Psalm 119, let me tell you a little bit about Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is an expansion of Psalm 19. And Psalm 19 is an abbreviation of Psalm 119. And in this psalm, you have 176 verses because it is an acrostic. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet. Every time a Hebrew letter is used, the author of this psalm gives 8 scriptures, 8 verses. And each stanza is made up of 8 verses that begins with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's this way in all of the verses, except I've found 3. Perhaps you can show me that I'm wrong. 122, 132, and 90. I've not found a reference to one of these words in those. Perhaps I'm wrong. But I'm not going to say that this brilliant psalmist was able to get all of the others and said, well, I just can't get it for verse 90 and 122 and 32. There would be a reason behind it. And perhaps one reason is this. These are aphorisms. They are brief, pithy sentences about the Word of God. And it may be very well that at times he gives 2 verses together. And in the second one, he mentions the Word of God. We'll see about that later. But concerning the Word of God, I want us to see this. So look, this was the verse that we mentioned in past studies. And look at verse 89, because I want to give you in a few verses, 89, 96, 152, and then 138, verse 2. I want you to learn the glory of the Word of God. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, look at verse 96. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. 152. Of old have I known from thy testimonies that thou hast founded them forever. And I will quote the other, Psalm 138, 2. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And so from these scriptures, and I cannot expand, you will find that the word of God is eternal, it is immutable, it is inacceptable, inaccessible, it is immovable, and these are some of the thoughts that he gives us concerning the word of God. Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. He knows that it's founded, therefore it is unmovable, and also it is inaccessible, because thy word is forever, O God, settled in heaven. Now, all of these things that I throw out to you quickly, the psalmist has thought through, and it has thrilled his heart to think of each attribute of the word of God. And what is so remarkable is this, that no one has ever been able to understand or explain 138:2. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And the most brilliant expositors say, it can't be that, but God put it there. And that's the way the text is. And it is incomprehensible. Why? How could God magnify his word above his name? Because his name is incomprehensible, but his word is incomprehensible as well. Now, also, his word is immeasurable. Listen to the interpretation that I give you on the verse that says, I've seen an end of all perfection, but thy word is exceeding broad. He has looked at everything on earth, and it can be measured, even everything that God made. You can measure God's universe. You can measure his creatures, some large, some small. You can measure everything that God has made and everything that man has made. I've seen an end of all perfection. But he says, thy word is exceeding broad. It means that it is infinite. And this is the word of God that we deal with. That is why when the Hebrews copied it, before they would write the name the Lord, they would take a bath. They reverenced it so greatly. And so you remember it. And you take it to heart, because that is what the psalmist did. To think that he has spent however long he did spend. And you think that he sat down late one Saturday night and said, I'm going to get a little something for the remembrance meeting and give it out Sunday morning. Do you think he did that? The Psalm 119? You say, why? I know. But here in Psalm 119, he has considered the 10 different ways that God's law, God's word, is set forth in Scripture. And then he uses each one and gives us an aphorism concerning it. That is what is so remarkable. And then he treasures the word of God. And he says, I've seen an end of all perfection. But then he looks at God's word and he says, it is immeasurable. Now, just this. There is another thing in the Bible that is exceeding broad. Everything else comes to an end except the kingdom of our Savior. It says, of his kingdom there shall be no end. And our brother prayed, in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden. And so the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word and the Father are all infinite. They cannot be comprehended. And this is what the psalmist wants to do. He wants to comprehend as best he can what God has set forth in his word. Now, here is something I want to tell you that you quickly passed over last week. Look at verse 73. This is what desultory means. It means going here and there in this psalm. Psalm 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Now, what is his thought here? Think of Genesis 2. It says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I want you to see what happens next. Turn to Genesis 2. Genesis 2. He says, thy hands have made me and fashioned thee. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Now, look at Genesis 2. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. You see the connection. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And the psalmist says, there is a God. He has formed me. His hands have made me. Now that I am a creature and I have a creator, I want to know the way he wants me to live. And that's why he says, you have made me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And so here is Adam. And he stands before God. And God says, I've made you out of the dust of the ground. Now, this is what I want you to do. The Apostle Paul did the same thing. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. What wilt thou have me to do, Lord? He understood that he had a Savior, a Maker, a Creator, and God said, since I am your Creator, this is what you are to do, and this is what you are not to do. And therefore, the psalmist says, God is my Maker. I am responsible to him. Tell me, Lord, how to live. And so if you acknowledge your God, and that is why the scientists and all those that are wise and prudent reject God, because then they may live as they please. They may say what is right and wrong. But the psalmist says, I know that I have God that made me, and I want you, Lord, to show me your commandments. All right. Another thing that I would bring to your attention is the love affair that the psalmist has with the Word of God. Look at verse 47, first of all. 47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Verse 48. I will lift up my hands also unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And you will find that 12 times the love is mentioned in this 119th psalm, and 11 times the love is for the Word itself, and the 12th time is the love for the name of God. How remarkable. He loves the Word of God. This is enough to show me that he was one who belonged to God, a true believer. Why? Because if you read in Romans 7 and 8, you'll find that the natural man, his inclination, he's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can he be. He hates the Word of God. It's enmity. He hates it. Why? Because he is not a child of God. But this man is a child of God. And he says 11 times, I love your Word. I love your precepts. All right. Think now in 1 John chapter 5. This is the will of God, that you keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God, yes. Keep his commandments, yes. And they're not grievous. You understand that if you're an unsaved man trying to keep the law of God, it will be a yoke that is unbearable. But trust the Lord Jesus as Savior, and he will take off that unbearable yoke and put on his yoke, and then you can say, why, that law that was unbearable, why now it is bearable. Why? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, yes, and love, why, that enables me to keep the commandments of God. How remarkable. So that is why he loves these commandments. Now, what you'll have to do is this. You'll have to go home and look up all of these 12 references. And then he tells you why he loves the Word of God. We're going to consider some of them in the portion that I gave to you, if we get around to it. But he loved the law of God. Now think of your life. When God's will is made known to you, do you rejoice in it? Or are you like those two sons in Matthew? Son, go work today in my vineyard. I will not. You see? And so we read God's Word, and there's some things that we like, and then go work today in my vineyard. I'm not going to do it. So, here is one who does not love God's Word. And then, there are those that are saved, and the Apostle Paul says, what wilt thou have me to do? And the author of the Psalm says, I love thy law. Therefore, if there is any command that God has given that grates against you and is difficult, then there is something within us that is wrong. It is never, oh God, not this. And even the finest servants of old, let me give you this, it's so beautiful. Psalm 78, speaks of our Savior, he tells us in Matthew 13, as the parable speaker. He spake to them in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. And then Ezekiel was told to speak to the children of Israel in parables, and he went to God and said, Lord, they're talking about me. They're saying, why, he's one who speaks to us in parables. Do you see the difference? He is told what he's to do, and he says, Lord, I don't like the way that they're talking about me. The Lord Jesus could have given the most profound discourses on any subject. But instead, he said, why, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that went forth and sowed seed. And then he says, why, it's like a meal in which a woman hid leaven. He tells us the simplest things, and that was the way his father wanted him to speak. And the Lord Jesus was not disobedient. I can show you 13 references where he says in John's Gospel that every word that he spoke was given him to speak by his Father, and he never departed from it. He said in John 8, I have many things to speak to the judge concerning you. He said, howbeit, the things that I say are the ones that God has given me. There are things that a man wants to say, but he said, I'm telling you what the Father has told me to say. So here is this man, and he speaks the way that God wants him to speak. He confines himself the way that God wants him to be confined, and he has no complaint about it. And here is something. I told you I was speaking in a desultory way. I think I'm allowed to, because some of you were saying, he says, the meeting is over. Well, if you give me the 119th Psalm to speak on, the meeting will never be over. And so I have to speak in a desultory way, and you have to limit yourself. But concerning these things, the psalmist has disciplined himself. He says, I must give 8 verses, and every verse must begin with the letter Aleph. What are you going to do? But there's a nope, it must begin with Aleph. And then I'm through with that. Well, I will go then to Tau. No, you won't. You will go to Aleph Beis, and then female, and Dalit. And he disciplines himself, and he brings forth this product, the 119th Psalm. And yet, when we get up, we just speak for no reason at all. Had you given me another psalm, I wouldn't have spoken in this way. But there's so much, I want to hit the highlights so that you will understand it. But he is disciplined, and that is what you and I should be able to do, to discipline ourselves when we come to preaching the Word of God. But so often, there is no discipline. And another little thing that is so humorous. There are so many people that want to be remembered. They try to preach a sermon. They try to write a pamphlet, and they want to be remembered. And what is so humorous is this. Here is a man that writes a magnificent psalm of 176 verses. And I challenge you to show me anywhere that it is quoted in the New Testament. But the man who wrote the 117th Psalm that consists of 2 verses is quoted by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. Now, isn't that embarrassing? This man sits down and jots down a psalm of 2 verses, and God picks it up and puts it in the book of Romans. And this magnificent psalm of 119 verses, 76 verses, you look at them and they are thrilling, and I have not found one that is quoted for certain in the New Testament. So, that's the way it is. Some may produce great things, such as the 119th Psalm, and may not be quoted as the Lord Jesus and others quoted Old Testament portions. But take that to heart. And so learn about discipline, and learn about saying what God wants you to say, and then move on. Do not worry whether people like what you say. Congratulate you for what you say. Know what God wants you to say, and pray that God will enable you to say it. And then if you say it acceptably, worry about nothing. But if you say, I must please these people, I think of the musicians. Mozart was one. He would write a certain thing that pleased him, and he would starve to death. People didn't like it. It was too great. But then He said, I have to make money, and so he could sit down and write something that would please the people. But we Christians, we who preach the Word of God, cannot do that. We are not to tickle ears. We are to teach what God has told us to speak. And even Balaam said that. Balaam said, I cannot speak anything that the Lord has not told me to speak. So let's take that to heart. This is what this man did. Now, some other things. Turn to the portion that I'm supposed to speak on tonight. I want to tell you a little bit about that. It says in Psalm 19 that God's word makes wise the simple. I confess to you, and this is no hypocrisy, I tell you that I am one who is simple. But at the same time, I'm wiser than most of the preachers I know for this reason. Now, look at it, and you tell me if I'm right. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have kept thy precepts. And the reason I know it is this. I see conferences advertised, and I see the subjects. And when I see what the subject is, I go and look up every reference in the Old and New Testament, in the Greek and in the Hebrew. And when I go to that conference, I say, now, let's see what they say. And at times, they won't even speak on the subject of the conference. They never give a definition of what the subject of the conference is all about. And then I speak to those that are speaking at the conference, and I find out that they don't know what the subject is. And the reason that I'm wiser than they is because thy precepts have been my meditation. Do you understand this? Take this book away from me, and all I am is a simple man. But put this book in my hand, and I'm any man's equal, you see? Give me the greatest psychologist in the world, and put this book in my hand, and I am his equal. Take it away from me, I cannot compete with him at all. And so listen to what he says. Look at verse 90, 7 again. It is my meditation all the day. I can say this, and you will accept it. I used to deliver chickens before I went into the service of the Lord. And what I would do, I would read a portion in the morning and meditate on that portion all day long. And when I would stop at times, I had my Bible next to me, I would turn back all day long. And so when it came Saturday night and you had to prepare a message, it wasn't then that you started thinking about it. You've been thinking about it the whole week long. And so it says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And I will tell you this now, it will help you. At times, if you ever see me walking around doing this, you'll say, well, that man is talking to himself. Do you realize that that's the meaning of the word meditation? And so at times, somebody might say, look at that senile old man talking to himself. I may be senile and an old man, but I'm talking to God. That is the difference. And I'm meditating. And the word meditate in the Hebrew means to muse, to ponder, to talk to yourself. And you will find it's a study in itself. Sometimes go through it and get all the references to the word meditation. And so here is the way to overcome all criticism and put your enemies at a loss. He said, princes sat and talked against me. He said, thy servant did meditate on thy word. They're insulting you, ridiculing you, and you are saying, blessed are ye when men shall reproach you, say all manner of evil against you, cast out your name as evil, rejoice in that day. They are saying those things, and I'm meditating on God's word. Listen to what they say, and you'll be destroyed. But he said, princes sat and talked against me. He said, thy servant did meditate on thy word. So if you want to know how to successfully get through life and a world of criticism, then just read how this man did when people criticized him. He was meditating on God's word. And they'll say, aren't you listening? And he could say, no, I'm meditating. I'm talking to God. So there are times when someone preaches, and with all readiness of mind, you should listen to the word of God. But there are other times when there are criticisms, and when the enemy comes in against you, that you meditate upon God's word. And that way, you will come off victorious. All right, notice this. He says, thy commandments make me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I think of the Lord Jesus when his enemy, the devil, tempted him. God's commandments were with him. He had hidden them in his heart. He had laid them up as a treasure in his heart. And when he was tempted, he brought them forth. He did not say, if I only had my Bible here. They had been committed to memory. And that is what you and I have to do. And he is familiar with them, and he could bring them forth at the time. Notice, he says, thy commandments make me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Now, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Take a man that is gifted, give him the word of God, and give me the word of God, and we're equals. Take another gifted man, and give me the word of God, and then let him go and read his book of sermons and what men say, and he's not my equal. And what is so sad is this. I've heard men of repute, I'm not going to tell you who, but I mean men of great repute, and I went and listened, and when the man spoke, out of all he said, there were three things that were worth remembering. And I went home and checked them out, and all three things were wrong, because he did not make God's word his meditation. That's sad. And I remember, as a young man, when I used to speak in various places, I spoke in Boston. And they had these students that came to the assembly from Harvard and all of these schools. And after you got through speaking, they brought you into a room, made you sit down, and give an explanation of the discourse that you gave. And you had better be ready to answer those students, because they would grill you. And you had better be able to know the word of God. And if you did, they would become afraid. Just like in Mark chapter 12, the lawyer saw that the Lord Jesus had answered well. And when he did, he said, yea, Lord, that's right, that's right. It said they dared not ask him any question, but then go and not be able to give a defense of what you've said. And then they cast your words aside. So you think of all the years I've been preaching to you and show me anything I ever told you scripturally that was wrong. Not that you've liked or disliked, but anything that was wrong. So keep that in mind. It says he is wiser than all his teachers. So you must have the word of God. Why is he wiser than all his teachers? It said they're ever with me. Now listen to this. Verse 100. I understand more than the aged, ancient ones, the elders, the aged ones, because I have kept thy precepts. Here, it is not that I know them, but I have kept them. And I could give you a message on the purpose of God giving these precepts. Listen to the first thing he says. He says, thou hast commanded us thy precepts, that we should observe them. That's why he gave them to you, that you should observe them, to keep them. And he said, I'm wiser than the aged ones. Why? Because when he hears them, he says, I'm going to obey them. That is why. Now listen to the Savior, and this is profound. Someone said to him on occasion, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the breast that thou didst suck. And the Lord Jesus said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God, and keep it. Think of that. What could be more blessed than the womb and breast associated with our Savior? And yet our Savior says, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So, if you hear the word of God, you're responsible to obey the word of God. Now, I want you to see this, because it is something that is a challenge, and you had better be careful. Look at verse 106. I have sworn and have performed it, that I will observe thy righteous ordinances. Have you ever sworn to God that you would keep the things that are contained in this book. You say, I don't swear. Well, that's all right. Make a vow to God then. Promise God. Give him your word. Will you do that? Make a covenant with God. This is what Job said. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. How then should I look upon a virgin? And this is a challenge. You say, well, why should I have to do it? You should not have to do it, but you will find that if you do not do it, then you will not keep the law of God. And that's why it says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It should have been done without that challenge, but there it is. And Job, I'm going to make a covenant with mine eyes. Why? Because I know my temptation to look upon a maiden, a virgin. And he, as he hears the word of God, he says, I have sworn and have confirmed it, have performed it, that I will observe thy righteous ordinances. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. All right. Do you want to be wiser than your enemies, than your teachers, than the aged? Then do with the word of God what the psalmist did with the word of God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that some have a profound appreciation of thy word, have thought it through in a way that in our lifetime we shall never think it through. We thank you for such men. We thank you for the estimate that they place upon it. It is like that of thy son. We are thankful that thou hast taught some of us concerning it that it is eternal. It is immutable. It is inaccessible. It is founded. Our God, all of these things and so many more concerning thy word. So let us understand it and let us hold up our hands toward thy commandments. Let us reverence it because you have magnified your word above all your name. Let us remember what your son said. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away, and not one jot or tittle will pass away, though all is accomplished. So in this day, Father, when thy word is treated with such irreverence, let us reverence it and understand that thy word is magnified above all thy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.